Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. We're going to spend the next hour answering some of the questions that we had this morning, and we're also going to look more at this idea of ministers and congregations. Well, what the heck do we need a congregation for? Why do we need ministers? What's that all about? Why did they even have that? Why did Moses call out the Levites? Why did Jesus call out the ministers of the early church in the first century? What were they doing? Why were they doing it, and how were they doing it, and what does that have to do with our salvation? Because aren't we just saved by grace? But then again, what grace do we have if we only love those who love us? You know, there's a number of quotes that people just extract from the Bible, and they kind of stand them alone, and they say, oh, this is all you have to do to be saved. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. Right? So that's all you have to do. And you know you believe in your heart, right? What do you believe? You believe in Jesus, that he was raised from the dead. But yeah, cool. Yeah, done deal. You're saved. Nothing else to worry about, right? That was just one line from Paul's statements in Romans 10. For one thing, in Romans 10, he was talking about the fact that he was trying to talk people who were trying to tell the Romans that they had to do everything that the Jews used to do. Well, most of the stuff that the Jews used to do, they didn't even have to do. They did them because people had misinterpreted the Old Testament, which they're still doing today. And, you know, the daily sacrifice of killing animals and setting them on piles of stone and setting them on fire. Many Jews, probably the most popular Jewish religious groups at the time, didn't do that because they knew that that was not what the Torah said. They read the Torah, they knew Hebrew, and they said that's not what the Torah says. But the Jews you go to and ask about the Old Testament and the Torah, they tell you that's what it means. I'm going with the other guys because the other guys were doing everything that Christ said to do, and they were not doing the things that Christ said not to do. The Pharisees, who were piling up stones and killing sheep and setting them on fire, they were doing all kinds of things that Jesus said was making the Word of God to none effect. And the modern Christian is making the Word of God to none effect all the time because they're doing exactly what the Pharisees were doing that got Jesus to say that they were making the Word of God to none effect. They had a system of Corban based on force, and John the Baptist said, don't use force, use charity. Jesus said, don't use force, use charity. Don't be covetous of what your neighbor has. This is what they said. If you go to Romans 10, verse 1 and read it, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For Israel, what does Israel have to do with it? I mean, this is to the Romans. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, they got some information wrong. And there are many Christians today that may really have a zeal for God, but they don't have the knowledge. They don't know what they're talking about because of all these brutish pastors, false teachers who are coming along and saying, oh, just think this thought. Just believe that you believe in your heart and you're saved, period. Jesus said, you know, Paul preached Jesus first, and Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Then Paul didn't cover that in that particular verse. But he said, I preached Jesus first, and Jesus said, if you don't forgive, neither are you forgiven. So you can't just believe in Jesus. You got to forgive or you're not forgiven. That's just the way it goes. That's the way it is. That's what's happening. Okay? If you want to take Jesus out of the gospel, you could do that. And then you can just believe in your image of Jesus and you're saved. And you don't have to forgive. But the fact is, you do have to forgive. And if you want God to give to you, you have to give to others. As you judge, so shall you be judged. And if you judge it's okay not to give to others, not to take care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity, if you think that's okay, they don't have to take care of you. Right? Because that's the way you judge it. If you judge it's okay not to save them in their hour of need, then God can judge it's okay to not save you in your hour of need. Right? Quit playing games with, you know, verses like some kind of Legos that you snap together. And, oh, I got this verse covered. I got that verse covered. So I'm done. I'm saved because I believe in Jesus in my heart. Do you? Why ain't you doing what he said? You ain't doing what he said because you don't really believe in Jesus. That's what it comes down to. Now, you can change that by starting to believe in Jesus, the real Jesus, not the fictional one you created in your mind with the help of a bunch of pastors who don't know what they're talking about, blind leading the blind. So he says, for I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They don't depend on charity. They depend on benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Jesus said it was not to be that way with you, but you think it's okay because you say you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in what he said. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. End of the law? He hasn't done away with the law. One of the problems in Greek is that they got one word for law, nomos. You know, in Latin, they got two words, lex legis and jus juris. That's the way Latin has, you know, different cases. So it's lex and jus, two different words. One is the legal system, you know, rules made up by men and agreed to and by contract become the law. But then there's the law of nature that doesn't depend on your contract. It is what you use to make the first contract to bind you in the legal system. And what is legal becomes lawful because you are bound lawfully, because you ate at the table. You know, the greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. You eat at their table, you have to pay the price. It's what they offer you. You know, the dainties of the king are a snare and a trap. What should have been for their welfare has become a snare. That's what it says. That's what Paul says. That's what King David says. But anyway, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. If you're righteous, you're already keeping the law. And he's debating with the Romans and the Jews, saying, let's not get into all this tit and tattle of these, you know, jumping through hoops kind of rules made up by Pharisees, of which Paul was the chiefest. And let's get down to the spirit of the law. Because if you keep the spirit of the law of love for one another, you'll keep the whole law. You will, because you love to keep the law. He goes on to say, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. In other words, you can't conjure up your way into heaven by doing these rules and regulations made up by men who read what Moses wrote. Because like I said, there was a whole group of people reading the Torah that came to a different conclusion of what Moses wrote than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Their opinion of the Torah was wrong. Dead wrong. The keeping of the Sabbath, it wasn't about a day, it was about a way. The sacrifice of Corban and the altars of stone, they were living stones even back then. They were to be living stones even back then. Tithing was a voluntary system of contributions that supported a government with no kings. A government that was a servant government and stayed a servant government because you had the right to decide whether you were going to support this individual as a member of the government or not. The power was in your hands. The state was in your hands. The state, the power of the state, we talked about this morning, the power of the state was still in the hands of the people. It had not been put into a corporate body. You're not a member of a congregation and therefore become a member of the body of Christ because you join a congregation. That was a question that came up this morning. And we, if we have time, we'll get into the body of Christ. And what does it mean, body of Christ? And why in one place does it say the body in Christ? Why the difference? What is the bride of Christ? What is the relationship of the bride of Christ to the body of Christ? And if you're of the bride of Christ, who are all the guests that are going to be let in or not let in to the wedding feast? Who are they? Is the church the ministers, or is the church the congregation who pick a minister? The church is the called out. The ministers were called out, trained up by Jesus, appointed by Jesus. The congregation chose to gather together in free assemblies. In one sense, they are a member, but another sense, they are not a member. Because a person is a member, but a person is less than an individual. Because some of the rights, you see, you have to understand these terms in legal systems. A person and an individual are not interchangeable terms. A person has taken some of his rights, invested it in something else, like a corporation or a state. Now, in the kingdom of God, you vest something in the church to become a congregant of the church, but not your rights. You keep your rights. You only invest what you lay upon the altar. The right to something. But your rights to choose remain with you. So therefore, the power of the state remains with you. But the power of your gift, the authority over your gift, because the word, several words that are translated into power in the Greek. One is also translated into power. Sometimes it's translated into authority. Another word is translated into liberty. That's a power, the power of choice. But the authority over a thing is given to a minister. But the authority over you remains with you. Because you remain a free soul under God, according to the government of God. This is what it means. The kingdom of God is the right to be ruled by God. You don't become a member of a congregation and therefore enter another state. You just don't become a part of the state that you probably already are a part of. See, the kingdom of God is from generation to generation. Rights are passed down from family to family. And Noah was still righteous in his generation. The rest of you are not. You've been cursed and sold into bondage by the covetous practices of your parents and grandparents. That was prophesied. That's a done deal. So how do you get out? How do you go back the other way? Well, you repent. You turn around, start going back. How did you get to where you are? Selfishness. How do you get back? Unselfishness. How do you get back? Taking away from your neighbor. How do you get back? Giving to your neighbor. How did you get into trouble? Unforgiveness. How do you get out of trouble? Forgiveness. You see, everything just reversed. You want to go back, find out why, how you got here, and go back the other way. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. You can't say who's saved. These guys going around saying, did you accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior? Yes. Oh, then you're saved. What day was it that you did that? Oh, I was saved on April 15th. Oh, we're saved on April 1st, Fool's Day. You can't just, it's not what you say. Didn't Jesus say that? It's not what you say, but what you do. And Paul makes this clear, but you never read the next verse after Paul. Let's read verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep? that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Then he says, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Everybody loves that. Let's read verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you living a righteous life? Do you have a daily ministration? Are you taking care of one another? Not just the ones you love, but everybody in a network of faithful Christians, like the early church. From Ireland to Germany to Asia to North Africa, they were bound together as Christians through a network. Why is Paul going to Galatia and taking funds from Galatia to Corinth and to Ephesus and he's moving these funds all over the place every time there's a dearth or a problem? Because they don't just love their local group. There's a job with the church. And they were doing it. You're not doing it because you don't believe unto righteousness. You just fool yourself into thinking you already believe. You do not believe. You imagine that you believe. Paul goes on, verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. This is what he was talking about in verse 10. He wasn't giving you a catch-all, do this little trick here and you're saved. He's talking about guys who are trying to divide people by saying, oh, if you jump through this hoop or you jump through that hoop, you keep the Sabbath, you do this, you do that. No. That isn't how it works. That's bringing God down to your level. Those who believe in their heart believe unto righteousness. You're not to righteousness yet. You don't believe. I couldn't keep you from doing right if you really believed. You think believing is having a thought held in your mind, like the cowardly lion. I do believe, I do believe, I do believe, as he wrings his tail. He doesn't believe. He's trying to convince himself that he believes. And you pay your ministers good bucks to convince you that you really believe and that you're saved already. You don't really believe and you're not saved already. You just imagine it. That's why Jesus said, many will say they come in my name, but I know them not. And they'll actually be workers of iniquity because they don't believe unto righteousness. They have no daily ministration. They do not take care of one another in love. They go around in self-righteousness. But if you really believed, you'd have nothing to be ashamed of. But you have much to be ashamed of. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you are calling upon the name of the Lord in vain because you're not doing what the early church did. They knew what to do because Jesus walked with them and they walked with Jesus for years and years and years. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, this is another subject. This goes back to that Israel going up to the other tribes and the lost sheep, and bringing them in to this network of the kingdom, this networking congregations of tens, hundreds, and thousands. So anyway, one of the early questions was, can a minister minister to more than 10 families? Certainly he does, but he has 10 families that he is directly responsible for in a network, and they are responsible to him. And together, they are connected with all kinds of other ministers so that every family serves or is a part of the service of thousands of Christians. Because they don't just love their congregation. The minister's thinking, well, if I only have 10 families in my congregation, how will I get enough money to... Well, we have ways of doing that too. But I said, these are ministers who already are doing the church as it is today, which is not the way it was meant to be. And of course, they think ministering is making people feel good about the fact that they know everybody in their congregation. Most everybody in their congregation heavily dependent upon the benefactors who exercise authority. Have no understanding, no practical understanding of living without applying to men who take away from their neighbor. All the benefits that come to them through such systems is the end result of coveting your neighbor's goods, curses your children with more and more debt because all these governments borrow money to provide these benefits. So anyway, we're also talking about, not only what is a minister, but what is a congregation? What is a congregant? And this gets us into the area of the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? Because that was another question that came up. These guys were asking questions about what we were talking about in the earlier part of the show, and I wasn't watching close enough, and I didn't get some of the questions. But one of them here is, how is it even possible for me to be a member of the body of Christ? Well, for one thing, like I said, the body of Christ really is the bride of Christ. Same metaphor. And everybody isn't going to be a part of the body of Christ, but doesn't have anything to do with being saved or not saved. Because there's the church specific, which is the appointed apostles, and the ministers that they also appointed, like Stephen and all the other ministers, which they were doing at Pentecost and afterwards. These are the body of Christ. This is the corporation of Christ. The church is the corporation of Christ. But the congregants are not the corporation of Christ. They may be a part of the kingdom of God, but they're not the corporation of Christ. They're not the body of Christ. They may be saved, but that doesn't have anything to do with being the body of Christ. But then there's this word church in general, because the body of Christ has no purpose without a congregation to serve. But the body of Christ is separate from the congregation. That from the beginning, that's the way it was. The Levites were the ministers of a kingdom, which was the kingdom of God. But Jesus took that kingdom away from those people and gave it to the church, gave it to the apostles. He said, I was going to take it away, and he did. It's really hard for a lot of people to accept that because of all the false doctrines floating around. That you see, I don't go by the doctrines of men. I go by what Jesus actually said. I'm going to take it from them, and I'm going to appoint it to another group. He says, it's my pleasure to do this. And then he says, I'm doing it. I appoint a kingdom unto you. And then they come out doing the daily ministration and seeing to rightly dividing the bread from house to house. I mean, it's a done deal. And they're doing it in the temple. What are they doing it in the temple for? Why aren't the Levites doing it in the temple? Because they're the living stones of the altar of Christ. They're taking their place. And then I gave you quotes from early church, what they call church writers, saying that's exactly what they're doing. They were taking the place of the Levites. And we even see in Acts where Hoses, who was a Levite, leaves what he was doing and now becomes a minister in the church. Why? Because the church was doing it right. The old Levites under the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing it wrong. And Hoses could see how to do it, and he became Barnabas. And what is he doing? He's just got his little flock over here in the corner, and he's just dealing with his little congregation, and he's ministering to them, making them feel good about what? No, he's moving large amounts of money around to other countries when there is major economic disaster. You're going to get a chance to do that too. Don't feel slighted. You're going to get a chance to do that, except you don't have a daily ministration. You don't have a network of ministers who can do this, because you're not coming together in congregations. The only way you get this network is 10 families get together and pick a minister. And chances are the first one you pick, it's going to be wrong. And even if it's right, he's probably not going to know what to do. So you need to practice. Seeking the kingdom of God is a religious practice. It's something you have to practice. It's a charitable practice. Because the kingdom of God runs, lives, and breathes on charity. Because it's a government that doesn't use force. I don't know how many different ways I can say it to help you out. But anyway, another question, when Paul writes the Corinthians, talks about them being members of one body. Well, yeah, and the word he uses is members, and the word he uses in relationship, I mean, the particular word that he uses as members, he uses over and over again, and it's always translated the same way. But the word he uses as body, because you only find this idea of members and body in the New Testament. You won't find two verses in the Old Testament where the word member and body. So they have this word body, soma, in the Greek, which is usually 144 times it's translated body. But it's actually from sodezo, or sozo, which is the word for save or make whole. Another word in the Latin for make whole is romaeos. The word is even translated heal. So this is the word we see often as body, is this make whole, make one. You know, one body, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12:12, members of the one body. And they have a word there that actually means one, single, one body. Well, how, and that is what we call the church in general, is that one body, members in one body. And so you see this word body, again, which is make whole. But what about the body of Christ? When we talk about the body of Christ, what words are we talking about that we see when we look up that verse? And again, remember that I told you that there's the body of Christ and there's the body in Christ, because it's not always the same. So that word body also is this soma, whole of Christ or in Christ. Because there is no real preposition there. When they say body Christ, it's actually whole Christ. It doesn't have a preposition there always. Sometimes it does. In Romans 12:5, we see body in Christ. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. That's not body of Christ. That's we're one in Christ. And everyone members one another. That's what it says actually in Romans. So when you're talking about the body in Christ. But of course, that's what I'm saying, is that wasn't Israel one nation? But there were no kings. There was no authority. They were not a corporate body. The only corporate body in a free nation. I talk about this in republics, because Israel was considered one of the first republics, pure republics. It was sort of a constitutional republic, but the constitution was the Ten Commandments, basically, and the statutes of Moses, which are terribly interpreted, but they're fairly clear, but people get them, they get overzealous with the metaphors and examples. But and we can go through those at another time, but the reality is, once you have this righteousness, you're going to figure out what is what. But this body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And again, that's the same thing. The what we see is communion. This little wafer is turned into a little crumb. And you get a little crumb, and you get a little tiny thimble of wine. In many churches, you don't even get the wine. Some churches, they give you grape juice. Those are symbols. When they were rightly dividing the bread from house to house, that was a social welfare system. You got an EBT card, that's your Eucharist. That's your communion. You know, if you get a Social Security check, that's your communion. That's the church you go to. The communion of Christ sent out loaves of bread, divided loaves of bread, sacks of grain, amongst the people who did not have enough. What did you think? Barnabas, when he was bringing aid to other countries, and Paul were bringing aid to other countries, they were taking a huge box of little tiny wafers of bread? No. They were bringing actual supplies, fed people, kept them from starvation. That's what made them one, is the network of charity, rightly dividing the bread from house to house. Not just in some little local congregation, but in one people. But then there are other places where we say, 1 Corinthians 12:27, now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And we see that word particular translated, actually it's translated coast, but it's also translated part or portion. Yeah, it's almost never translated particular, but 24 times it's translated part. So you are part. That's what they're talking about, this body. You're part of a body. And again, we go back to members. Today, when you say the word member, it has to do with being a person. You're what you can do and can't do is dependent upon the whole body. You know, it's like if you were, you're part of the United States, your leaders will decide what is good and evil and say, you can't do this anymore. You know, a lot of people like to smoke marijuana, and they think that it has health benefits, and it probably does. And there's a lot of things that have health benefits that are still legal, but if the government deems that marijuana, and I've seen it help people, the oils especially, and it certainly helps people who are having seizure problems and stuff like that. I mean, it saves lives, very clearly. I mean, you see a person having a seizure, normally these seizures last, you know, a long time. Just a touch of oil on their tongue and seizure stops. Now, the Holy Spirit could do this without that. But the reality is a lot of you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't do something quick, that person's going to die. Hopefully we give them life longer because all life is precious, so that they have a chance to repent and find the Holy Spirit. But the point is that the powers that be have deemed that that's bad. So you can't have that. And they'll keep it from you. And there's probably a lot of other things that they keep from you too. But that's because you're part of that body. I mean, it's like you have to wear safety belts. Safety belts can save lives. I know people that would be dead today if they had been wearing their safety belt. But most of the time, it'll probably save your life. I know of two people that were wearing safety belts in the back seat and two people that were not wearing safety belts in the front seat, and they ran into a tree. The ones in the front seat went through the windshield and lived. Got cut up badly and bruised up badly, but they lived. One's in the back seat. They both died. No cuts or bruises. Well, they're probably bruises, but they didn't go through the windshield. They were just in the safety belts, but the safety belt snapped their backs when they hit the tree. Snapped their backbone, anyway. Kind of broke their necks. So, safety belts can kill, too. You know? Now, I'm not telling you not to wear them or to wear them. I don't know. It all depends on what's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit could tell you. But the point is, they get to tell you to wear your safety belts and punish you when you're not, because you're a member of that body. And you know you're a member because if you get sick, you get injured, you break your back and you survive, who's going to take care of you? Them. Who's your daddy? Them. Who's your father? Them. You know, the government. So the government gets to tell you what to do. Your Father is not the Father in heaven. Your Father is the fathers of the earth. Because they take care of you. They provide for you. They provided for your parents. They provide for you. They provide education for your kids. You belong to them. That's your daddy. And so they get to tell you, because you eat at their table, what should have been for your welfare has become a snare, and now you have to obey them. Now you want to change that. Repent. Start seeking the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's a system of social welfare that doesn't snare you because it has no compulsory offerings. It's all free will offerings. It's all free assemblies. All the power that God bestowed upon man, we want it to remain in you. The ministers of the church actually give up power. They become separate. The Levites were supposed to be separate. The church ministers are supposed to be separate. You show me out there in the world what ministers of churches are actually separate from the world. They're all a part of the world. They all depend upon Social Security. They all depend upon these things. Now, why? Well, let's go back to what we said at the beginning. They lack knowledge. Now, we should take a break, and we will take a break. Let's talk about the body of Christ, and we have a couple articles up on the body of Christ and what the body of Christ is, and that can be a number of things. If Paul's talking about it, if other people are talking about it, you know, what are they, you know, the phrase or the words body and the words Christ only appear 17 times in the same verse in the Bible. Of course, that's all in the New Testament. Remember, the word Christ means Messiah or anointed. A Messiah in the Hebrew means anointed. So whenever you see Messiah or Messiah or Christ or anointed, it's the same word. They're just deciding to translate it or not translate it or whatever. So the body of the Christ, body of Christ is the body of anointed. That's the ones that are anointed. Okay? And they're anointed to do a job. And David was anointed. And Jesus appointed as the king, highest son of David, he appointed certain people. He was also the high priest. So he's both priest and king. He appointed certain people to take over the role that was being neglected by the Pharisaical Levites. Because they had moved from what we see in the Old Testament as free will offerings. You know, free will offerings, over and over again it calls it that. And they had moved to a forced offering system. And that's why the Corban of the Pharisees was making the word of God to none effect. The word Corban means sacrifice. The sacrifice of the Pharisees was making the word of God to none effect. And what were those sacrifices? They were the offerings of the people. And it was because they had turned it into a forced offering system, which all the Christians today, just about all the Christians today, have done. And yet they tell you that they believe in their hearts in Jesus, they're forcing their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. Now some say, oh, I'm not taking any of those benefits. Well, they're not today, but they may before they're done. But they're also not being the benefactors of Christ. They're not gathering together. You know, who do you have today to be Barnabas? Who do you have today to be Paul? Who do you have today to be Peter to move these large funds? Where are your 7 to 10 to the daily ministration? Do you know what that is? We tell about that on the website. I'm not going to tell you on the show today. You have to go to Preparing You. And when you go there, if you want an explanation, join the network. If you want deeper explanations, join the Living Network. Become a congregant in Congregations of Record. Go on live in your life to say that I'm going to be a part of the people who are seeking the kingdom of God. And some that come with you are not, but let God sort them out. But anyway, there's about four times that we see this phrase, body of Christ. So what are these four times? Well, Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law of the body of Christ. Now, what's he talking about? That he goes on to say that ye should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, and we should bring forth fruit unto God. Again, his conversation with the Romans was about, are you going to go the way of the Pharisees? Do all the Romans have to do these old practices of the Pharisees and Judaism? Or should we actually seek the righteousness? That's what we were told, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that was the big debate with them. In Corinthians, it was a little different. So in 1 Corinthians 10:16, we see, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This cup of blessing, this bread that we break, it's the supplies. Remember in Corinthians, he was saying, we talked about that in the earlier shows, that we gather on, when you gather on Sunday, gather up the funds that we're going to take with us for the needy throughout all these nations. So that there is no gathering when we come, that it's already gathered up. The word Corban, which we see as sacrifice, is translated from the word that means sacrifice. In the Bible, it's also translated treasury, because that sacrifice went into a fund. Now, most of the treasure of the kingdom is not kept in a big vault somewhere. It is the network of people. The money is to be kept in your purse. And I explained this in the Golden Calf article. The Golden Calf was literally a vault of money, a reserve fund. Moses doesn't want you to do keeping all that money in this big, huge vault. He wants most of it kept in your pocket. But it's like blood. You want blood in your body. You want it in your toes, and you want it in your fingers, and you want it in your stomach, and you want it in your arms and your legs, and you want it in your head. It's distributed all throughout your body, and it's constantly in circulation. That's the blood. Now, the Spirit of God allows that blood to flow in the body of Christ, this whole body of Christ where all the members are, as there's a need. You start running, more blood goes to the legs. You start lifting stuff, you know, with your hands, more blood starts going. When you're trying to pass a test and think out a problem, more blood may go to your brain. It goes where it needs to go, and your body regulates that. And the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, regulates that. Hopefully, according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's for you guys to work out, picking the minister, encouraging that minister, and that minister encouraging you to do righteousness, not to feel righteous, but to do righteousness. See, they want to feel righteous because we do the Sabbath on Saturday. We use this calendar. That's feel righteousness stuff. You want to do righteousness. And if you believed in Christ into your heart, you would do it unto righteousness. What you did would be unto righteousness. You would have a daily ministration. You would have a network that reached from the United States to Australia to England to wherever. South America, Canada, it'd be all over the place. And you wouldn't be divided into 40,000 congregations. You wouldn't be dependent upon the fathers of the earth. You wouldn't be praying to benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. But you are, because you do not believe unto righteousness. So anyway, that 1 Corinthians 10:16 goes on to say, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You don't break that bread. You crumbs. You're the crummy church. Little wafer church. You're not the body of Christ. You're not breaking the bread unto righteousness. It's just self-righteousness with silly rituals. Because you've unmoored the metaphor from its real meaning. Remember, everybody who believed in Christ was cast out of the social welfare system that was run through the synagogues and through the temple. A man's parents, they were afraid. They didn't want to get cast out. But he was willing to be cast out because he believed. And Christ went and looked for him. And he was brought into the kingdom, into the kingdom network. And, you know, I don't know what happened to him, but I'm sure that there were people helping him. I mean, he had to learn a trade. Maybe he was so intense with Aquila and Priscilla and Paul. It was a big need for tents because large numbers of people were moving around. We could man, you know, 100 people so intense today. But we're looking for people who are looking for the kingdom of God unto righteousness. And that's not most of you guys. So anyway, in Corinthians 12:27, that's another verse. It says, now ye are the body of Christ and the members particular. Now that's not necessarily you now. That's who he was talking to in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12:27. And maybe we'll look at that in context and find out what he was talking about. Ephesians 4:12 is the other place where it talks about the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministers, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That would be another important verse to look at. And it's context. When I say look at in context. The work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Make everybody feel good? Make everybody think they're saved? No. What's the perfecting of the saints? What is this word saints? It has to do with those that are separate. Who were separate? Levites were separate. Levites belong to God. The ministers of Christ belong to God. They cannot be eating at the table of the world. They have to belong to God. They have to be separate. I know a lot of guys who don't want to belong to the world and want to be separate, but they don't want to be servants of Christ. So therefore, he talks about being separate, perfected of the saints, but also for the work of the ministry. What was the ministry? Rightly dividing the bread from house to house, going around and collecting funds and redistributing them where they're needed. If they're needed in Galatia, if they're needed in Poughkeepsie, if they're needed in Detroit, that's where we take them. But you aren't gathering unto righteousness. We've got people who listen to the show, but they don't gather unto righteousness. They don't even gather. Oh, they gather with their little friends and their little groupie group, but they're not gathering with those they don't know. They only gather with those that they love and like and make them feel good. And what, not only for the work of the ministry, but for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that was in Ephesians 4. And if we were to look at Ephesians 4:12 and look at it in the context, we would go back up to like Ephesians 1. With lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now remember, whenever you see that word love, whichever one it is it agape? Well, agape is translated charity 27 times. And actually associated with other words like feast and whatever, it's translated charitably or feasts of charity. You have no feast of charity. You have token charity. You don't take care of one another. In faith, hope, and charity. Actually, I didn't start reading verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. He calls himself a prisoner of the Lord. How is he a prisoner of the Lord? It's actually a word that can mean bond. In bonds. He's bond. He's a bond servant of Christ. And that's what the churches, the ministers are bondservants. They belong to Christ, just like the Levites belong to God. I therefore, a prisoner in bondage to the Lord, beseech you that ye walk, I'm asking you, beseech, what the word there, beseech, that's also comfort, exhort, desire, pray, entreat. It's not boss, not rule. I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Whatever vocation that is. That's the word vocation there. It's actually most of the time is translated calling. Whatever you're calling. Whatever you're called to do. That's what he's talking about. Then he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, but you have 40,000 different denominations. Where's the unity of the Spirit? How are you taking care of one another? The only one that's taking care of most of the people in those 40,000 denominations is the governments of the world, the fathers of the earth, the benefactors who exercise authority. Those people who depend upon that are not saved. They don't believe, and they certainly don't believe unto righteousness. They're actually workers of iniquity because they're constantly taking a bite out of one another and cursing their children with more and more debt by desiring more and more benefits. They are far, far, far away from Christ, and Christ does not know them. But now, if you are one of those and you want to know Christ, that's great, because now you're hearing somebody who's actually telling you what the gospel says. That's not going to make me a lot of money, because that's not going to be popular. People want to believe that they're saved because they think a thought. I save myself with a thought. I save myself with a couple of words. No, you can't do that. Doesn't work that way. There is one body, he says. Same word again. One body. One, you know, actually that same word body is translated slave one time. But it is the word soma. And it does come from a word that means save or keep safe or sound or rescue or from danger or destruction. So he's talking about this group that's going to be saved. Well, this is the one that has this network that reached all over the Roman Empire, this network of charity through a network of ministers, saints, men who were separate, not of the world, not dependent upon, they couldn't be of the world. They had to waive their right to all the benefits of the world. Those parents of the blind man who didn't want to say anything because they didn't want to be kicked out of the system, the ministers of Christ are kicked out of the system. And according to, and this is what we show in the Free Church Report, and if you want to be a part of the study group of the Free Church Report, which we may be starting in a couple of weeks, join the network. Go to preparingyou.com, go to hisholychurch.org, join the network, and become a part of a congregation wherever you live, and we will give you all the information about, you know, that study group where we're going to look at the details. Why? Christ was a genius when it comes to legal strategy. Absolute genius. He wrote the book, and of course he did. So anyway, but there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in the one hope of your calling. And again, that word calling, that's the same one we saw above as vocation, same Greek word. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And, of course, now you read our article on baptism and you start understanding what that meant. Because there's a lot of baptisms out there, but those people are just all wet. You know, it's like the third century church that started up with Constantine. Everybody in Milan went and got baptized, but they were just all wet because there was no repentance. They didn't change their way. The modern church is doing things the way the Pharisees did. They're not doing the things the way Christ did. And we're coming to the end of the show pretty soon. So I'm not going to be able to finish this up, but we'll continue this next week. If you want to listen to our show on First Amendment radio, you can, and continue this topic in greater detail. If you want to join the network, that's really where it's happening. So I encourage everybody to join the network. Become a part of a congregation, find out a minister. Then we can, I get people calling me all the time. I cannot give them the time that I would like. They have to give me a break. Join the network, pick a minister, and we'll help you out. Till then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.